If it sounds country, man, that's what it is. It's a country song. Yeah. Okay. Well, 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
This is American Roots. I'm Nick Spitzer.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, heading for the trains. Feeling nearly faded as my jeans.
Our guest is singer, songwriter, actor, and countercultural icon Kris Kristofferson. He wrote Me and Bobby McGee sitting on an offshore oil rig in the Gulf of Mexico, 1969. Before the song turned his life around, Kristofferson struggled to make ends meet in Nashville. Whether it was a love song like Help Me Make It Through the Night or the rueful regret of Sunday Morning Coming Down, Kris Kristofferson's straightforward lyrics later reached listeners and other songwriters.
Well, the thing is, with country music, most performers were songwriters. Mm. But the song was the important thing. The song was the basis of it all. People like Hank Williams and Johnny Cash were great performers and everything, but it was their songs that moved people. It was all from the heart and the soul. You know, it wasn't like something off of Tin Pan Alley where you're sitting and writing songs that are, you know, somebody's going to make a hit of.
Right.
It was serious art for those of us who were doing it. We thought we were artists.
Kris Kristofferson also wrote cynical lyrics from a unique point of view, particularly in the late 60s in Nashville, and earned the name Nashville's Own Hippie. Now in his 70s, Kris Kristofferson joins me to talk about life and music on American Roots.
Honky-tonk blue. Yeah, the honky-tonk blue. Hey, Lord, I got them. I got the honky-tonk blue.
Kris Kristofferson was born in 1936, Brownsville, Texas, on the Mexican border at its southernmost tip. The border radio stations across the Rio Grande played Singing Cowboys, and then Honky Tonk Heroes, Ernest Tubb and Hank Williams.
Oh, Lord, I got 'em. I got the honky tonk blues.
Hank Williams was one of young Kris Kristofferson's favorites. He was also drawn to the norteño music and songs of Mexico and South Texas.
En el condado del Carmel, miren lo que ha sucedido. Murió el chiripe mayor, quedando Román herido.
I think it was the strongest influence in my life. I spent about 11 years down there, my first 11, and the music of the border music, Mexican music, it was just heart music, and country music was the same. I always felt that it was the Rio Grande Valley that got the music going in my brain.
At what point do you move from being moved by, say, hearing rancheras and corridos and mm-hmm. the country songs and feel like you're somebody that could write words of significance or sing them?
Well, I think it just came naturally to me. I think the first whole song that I wrote, I was about 11. I didn't write it. I made it up, you know, and have been doing it all my life since then.
Yeah. What was that song? Do you remember it? Or
it was called I Hate Your Ugly Face. Well, it was as close as I was comfortable getting to a love song. It says, you've heard the country singers singing of the loves they've lost, but they're always true to their long-lost dear, no matter what the cause. I want you to hear I ain't crying in my beer. This is how it goes with me. The happiest day of my unhappy life was when you set me free. I hate your ugly face. I see it every place. It follows me wherever I try to go. I want you to hear I ain't crying in my beer. This is how it goes with me. The happiest day of my unhappy life was when you set me free. I was singing way beyond my experience.
Wow, no kidding.
I hadn't ever drunk any beer, but I knew you were supposed to.
Yeah, my bucket's got a hole in it. I can't buy no beer.
Schooling became a critical way for Chris to experience the larger world of literature and sports. He went to Pomona College in Claremont, California.
I pretty much did what my parents expected of me for going to school and had the good fortune to go to some good schools. I actually was more in love with football and boxing than I was with anything else, and with creative writing, though. And I was lucky to have, by the time I got into college anyway, I have a real good creative writing teacher that stimulated me and got me to thinking that was something that I could do.
After graduation, Chris attended Oxford University on a Rhodes Scholarship, where he was introduced to the poetry of nonconformist and social critic William Blake.
In the undergraduate work, in college, it was more of a broad liberal arts education, but to be able to focus on writers, unfortunately, they never got more contemporary than Shakespeare, but it was good, because I really found a lot that I could identify with William Blake and be inspired by, and Shakespeare, of course, was the best. Mm-hmm. And I never liked to go to school, even when I was little. But I'm grateful that it exposed me to the art that it did.
Casey joins the hollow sound of silent people walking down the stairway to the subway in the shadows down below. Following their footsteps through the neon darkened corridors of silent desperation, never speaking to a soul. The poison air he's breathing has the dirty smell of dying, 'cause it's never seen the sunshine and it's never felt the rain. He minds the arrows and ignores the fatal echoes of the clicking of the turnstiles and the rattle of his chains. Oh, she said, Casey, it's been so long since I've seen you. Here, she said, just a kiss to make a body smile. See, she said, I've put on new stockings just to please you. Lord, she said, Casey, can you only stay a while? He leaves the underground and stops inside the Golden Crown for something wet to wipe away the chill that's on his bones. Seeing his reflection in the lives of all the lonely men who reach for anything they can to keep from going home. The corner case, he drinks his pint of bitter, never glancing in the mirror at the people passing by. Then he stumbles as he's leaving, and he wonders if the reason is the beer that's in his belly or the tear that's in his eye. She said, I suppose you seldom think about me. Now, she said, now that you've a family of your own. Still, she said, it's so blessed good to feel your body. Lord, she said, Casey, it's a shame to be alone.
Casey's Last Ride, 1969, highlighting the poetic storytelling that Kris Kristofferson would become known for. Though he wanted to stay at Oxford, Kristofferson would join the army, was stationed in Germany, and performed on local bases. An army buddy brought him to the attention of a cousin, Mary John Wilkin, who wrote classics like Long Black Veil and Ramblin' Rose. Wilkin offered to show Kris around Nashville if he'd visit. By then, he had volunteered to go to Vietnam, was rejected, and assigned to teach English literature at West Point.
I enjoyed the time I spent in the Army because I got to be a ranger and airborne and a helicopter pilot and did a lot of interesting stuff in interesting places, you know. But I never intended to make the military a career. I know when they offered me the job at West Point as a teacher of literature, you know, I considered that. And just to be able to be teaching literature, you know, seemed kind of attractive.
But before that assignment began, he showed up at Wilkin's Publishing Company, Buckhorn Music, in Nashville, in full uniform.
Actually, I went up and saw West Point, and then I went to Nashville on a two-week leave I had, and it changed my life. It was like I suddenly knew I was home because creative people were all about love of the songs. A total absence of ego or selfishness, you know. People liked other people's songs as much as they liked their own, you know. And it was just a wonderful atmosphere.
Songwriter and producer Cowboy Jack Clement inspired Kris Kristofferson's decision to leave the military. He showed Kris a train yard. Clement would sometimes take a trip to New Orleans and back just to enjoy the train ride and nothing else.
Jack Clement was one of the first guys that I met in Nashville, and he's amazing person, great songwriter. He was one of my first friends and one of my best.
Mary John Wilkin brought Kris backstage at the Grand Ole Opry to meet a hero of his, Johnny Cash. Soon after, Kris moved to the Music City with his wife and young daughter, 1965. He would eventually define a new approach to music and the songwriter's art in Nashville.
I come from just the other side of nowhere to this big time lonesome town. They got a lot of ice and snow here, half as cold as all the people I've found. Every way I've tried to go here seemed to bring me down. Seen about enough to know where I belong. I've got a mind to see the headlights shining on that old white line between my heart and home. Sick of spending Sundays wishing they was Mondays, sitting in a park alone. So give my best to anyone who's left who ever done me any loving way but wrong. Tell them that the pride of just the other side of nowhere's going home. Taking nothing back to show there for these dues I've paid, but the soul I almost sold here and the body I've been given away. Fading from the neon nighttime glow here, heading for the light of day, just the other side of nowhere, going home. I've got a mind to see the headlights shining on that old white line between my heart and home. Sick of spending Sundays wishing they was Mondays, sitting in a park alone. So give my best to anyone who's left to ever done me any loving way but wrong. tell them at the pride of just the other side of nowhere's going home. Taking nothing back to show there for these dues I've paid. But the soul I almost sold here and the body I've been given away. Fading from the neon nighttime glow here, heading for the latter day. Just the other side of nowhere, going home. Just the other side of nowhere, going home.
Kris Kristofferson in Nashville, 1969, Just the Other Side of Nowhere. More of Chris's life and music and his close-up encounter in a Nashville studio with another hero, Bob Dylan, when American Roots returns.